The Denver Broncos had a very impressive day during joint training camp practices with the Dallas Cowboys. One Broncos rookie edge rusher stood out in a big-time way. We go through the notes on the offense and the defense's big day against the Cowboys on today's brand-new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Happy Friday. Welcome into a brand new episode of Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much to everybody in Broncos country for tuning in and making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day every single day on your favorite audio podcasting platform, or whether you watch us on YouTube. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe or that follow button so you never miss out on a day's worth of Denver Broncos news, content, coverage, and more. From the South Stands to the end zone, I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior Broncos analyst and reporter from Mile High Sports, joined alongside by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger, site expert, predominantlyorange.com. Sarah, the fists were flying in Dove Valley for Broncos-Cowboys joint training camp practices. The Dukes were put up. There were some scuffles, but more importantly, the Broncos, they really got to take out some of that aggression on another team. They got to see different looks. I tell you what, there's a lot to take away from the offense and the defense, but we have to highlight a rookie player who stood out in a big way. And I'll tell you what, player of the day, it goes to Nick Benito on the defensive side of the ball. Sarah, he was a wrecking ball against the Dallas Cowboys offense during Thursday's joint training camp practice.
And it's great to see. I mean, it seems like every day a new pass rusher, just like kind of the wide receiver position, another pass rusher emerging every day for the Denver Broncos. But Nick Benito, really, I think with all the Baron Browning stuff going on, I feel like Nick Benito, just reading the tea leaves, reading some of the notes from camp, it sounds like he's had a really strong rookie training camp overall. And this kind of was just like the breakout day for him. According to, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, Cody, 4 sacks for Nick Benito in this practice, 2 against the ones, 2 against the twos. So I know we got to catch a couple glimpses of him rushing the passer as the Dallas Cowboys actually live streamed this practice, which the Broncos haven't been doing throughout camp. So not sure how the Cowboys managed to get that one by, but they did. And so we got to see live a little bit, and it was great to see. I mean, that defensive line, it just in general was bringing the pressure all practice long, whether it was the run game, whether it was the pass rush. But for Nick Benito, we know that, I mean, with that 1.50 or 1.51 10-yard split that he has, I mean, he can bring the heat off the snap. And it's really, I think, for a lot of people, the question marks surrounding him are going to be, can he hold up against the run against NFL offensive linemen? Because he could do it at Oklahoma. He was pretty good at it at Oklahoma. Very strong guy, which is kind of an underrated trait of his, being that he's so fast. But I think as he transitions to the game, Cody, I feel like the Broncos are going to have to find ways and packages and different, you know, just means to get him on the field, because his pass rush is obviously a huge asset.
Well, and I can tell you this, they will get him on the field. Like, there is no way that Nick Benito is going to go into a game in the regular season and not play meaningful snaps. Now, he may not start. He may not be with the starters, but he will be in rotational packages. The Broncos, as we know with Nathaniel Hackett, wants to send pass rushes in waves. God, and I can tell you, you know, Nick Benito had a really good day today. Sarah, Bradley Chubb was all over the place. We'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show when we focus on the defense here, but kind of sticking here with Nick Benito, maybe how he can elevate himself with a bigger role. I've had a lot of Broncos fans tweet me, you know, we haven't heard too much about Nick Benito. I don't think it's been a bad thing that you haven't heard too much about him. Like, for him, he's been out there every day. He's been healthy. He's been grinding. He's been putting in the work. You can see it in the team drills. But when you see him going against the Broncos offense and he's dominating, and this will also be something we touch on the offensive side, a lot of people are wondering, okay, well, is there something wrong with the Broncos offensive line? Is there something wrong with their protection? But when you're going against the same guys every single day, they know your slide protection calls. They know the play that you're running. A lot of guys cheat in practice. So, you know, you really got to see the Broncos, and really for Nick Benito to unleash against a Dallas Cowboys team that they haven't lined up against them before. This was the first action. There was really no film, no scouting that the Broncos did on the Cowboys, because you don't do that in the preseason. It'd be different if it was the regular season. But you saw exactly just that. Nick Benito off the edge, bull rushing, taking moves upfield, and then cutting inside on different stunt packages. Like, he was all over the place. And even more so as well, playing against the run. Sarah, I felt like he did a really good job of punching, attacking the outside shoulder of the offensive tackle, keeping his outside hand free. That way, if there's a run that comes his way, that he could step to it. I thought he did a tremendous job. It was a good day for the Broncos rookie out of Oklahoma. But man, just the overall excitement. There was, I think, 6,000 total fans in attendance on the berm. There's a loud consensus of Dallas Cowboys fans. There was a loud consensus of Broncos fans. And I did kind of throw a little bit of a jab out there. I did say, because there was a lot of Cowboys fans, I had to wait probably 30 minutes to move 10 feet while trying to get into parking. That's how bad it was during Thursday morning's practice, trying to get into the facility there. That's how much, everyone was excited for. But I will make this point. There were a lot of Cowboys fans, but there weren't as many Cowboys fans as there were Denver Broncos fans when the Broncos traveled to Dallas last year and whooped the Cowboys in Dallas. Denver, had the large contingency. Unfortunately, Dallas couldn't match that here at training camp with that. But, outside of that too, and here's another thing I picked up with Benito, not just what he's picking up, but like, he's doing this with Baron Browning. Those two guys together, Sarah, there's a lot of exciting prospects for what this defense can do if Bradley Chubb can stay healthy, if Randy Gregory can return and be healthy, and then you mix in these two guys there. It's scary, not to mention Malik Reed. We'll talk about him a little bit as well. But man, Nick Benito, so far off to a really good start. We'll see how much he plays in the preseason beginning on Saturday when the Broncos host the Dallas Cowboys at 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, Empire Field at Mile High. I'll be there covering the game, and then we'll come back here shortly afterwards to discuss and break everything down here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. But Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. Russell Wilson and the Broncos offense was cooking against the Dallas Cowboys defense, trying to fight off a very aggressive Micah Parsons. How did they do? What things stood out with the offensive period? We get to that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about BetOnline.net, the sponsor for today's episode, Locked On Broncos. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. You can find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games this season. You can find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, esports, combat sports, and golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about all the action that's happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. During the Broncos training camp practice with the Dallas Cowboys to wrap up NFL training camp on Thursday at the UCLA Training Center, the Broncos offense was cooking, led by Russell Wilson. The Broncos quarterbacks getting involved in all the action. Thank you once again, Broncos country, for tuning in and making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day every single day on your favorite podcast and provider, or whether you're watching us on YouTube. Sarah, Broncos offense led by Russell Wilson, going against a different look, a different front than they've seen all throughout training camp. And some questions were answered. We talked to Nathaniel Hackett after practice, and he said that sometimes when you do a joint training camp practice like this, you can evaluate a little bit more than you can in a preseason game, because in a preseason, you're very limited. Players are limited with the number of reps or snaps that they get. So he said for the starters, he was able to get a really good evaluation, and the Broncos offense had a very, very good day against this Cowboys defense. I will note, no Trayvon Diggs there for the Cowboys. He was not dressed.
Well, that makes you wonder. I mean, but at the same time, I think with the Broncos on the other side too, CD Lamb having some success in this practice. And so I think that definitely it goes both ways on that, but it's good to see the offense having success regardless. I mean, like we've talked about with kind of just the war on attrition that happens to your roster in the NFL, you never know who you're going to be going up against in a given regular season game. So it's good to just see guys go out there and execute. I saw clips from the Broncos. You know, they posted a big play from Cortland Sutton. They posted, obviously, the incredible catch by Albert Okwuegbunam, who it sounds to me like in recent days and maybe over the last week or so, Albert O has really stepped up his game at practices, which is great, because with Greg Dulcich kind of dealing with the hamstring still, and Nathaniel Hackett saying he may have had a little setback with that there. Obviously, Eric Saubert not making quite as much noise, but maybe a little more today against the Dallas Cowboys in the practice, the joint practice they had together. I think it's imperative that Albert O is having some big practices, stringing those together, really gaining that chemistry and that trust from Russell Wilson. I thought that was a pretty big development for the offense overall, as far as just efficiency goes and effectiveness and really being able to get chunk plays. It sounded like Albert O had one of his biggest plays right after a negative play for the offense as well, in a move, maybe a move the ball period, or it's hard to follow along when you can't watch everything, but just from the sounds of it, and maybe you can kind of give some some insight on this. Cody shed some light on it. It sounds to me like Albert O really having a good couple weeks as the Broncos gear up for this first preseason game.
Well, you know, I hate to crown a guy after a day of practice, but, you know, he's been the most consistent tight end so far, day in and day out. And Saubert's been pretty good. He'll play a role, but he's not going to be tight end one. Albert Okwuegbun, in my opinion, will be tight end one to start season for this Broncos team. I mean, he looks so much more comfortable the way that he's running routes, the way that he's adjusting. I mean, he understands how to body adjust, and his focus is so much better. Like, he's making tough catches across the middle of the field with a guy on him. He's making an adjustment with one hand when a pass is kind of thrown a little bit behind him. He body adjusts, one hands it, hauls it in for a touchdown in practice against the Cowboys' first team defense. And he's also improved as a pass blocker as well, Sarah. There's been times where the Broncos have used him in protection. He's been much more disciplined in terms of getting his hands inside the frame, moving laterally, having good footwork with that. But man, I tell you what, he's evolving as a little bit of a threat as a receiver, and it kind of kills the narrative. What we saw during the joint training camp practice against the Dallas Cowboys, we killed the narratives of Russell Wilson doesn't like to attack the middle of the field. Russell Wilson doesn't like to throw to tight ends, because he did both of those things on Thursday during the joint practice, Sarah. And it's one thing that stood out to me in a tremendous way. And hey, hats off. Montrell Washington had two catches early on where he caught the pass in the middle of the field with contested coverage. He had a corner on him. He had a safety above him. And there was some contact, and he just focused, brought his hands in, and caught the football. It was a great play there by Montrell. We continue to see that. Seth Williams making some plays. Jalen Virgil making some plays with Brett Rippon, Josh Johnson, Brandon Johnson making some plays, but even Kendall Hinton catching a touchdown as well. The Broncos kind of question marks that we've had at wide receiver with the injury to Tim Patrick, I think they will answer themselves very shortly. I don't think that the Broncos are going to bring anybody in from the outside. I think that they're really invested right now in their system and the guys that Russell Wilson has already built trust and built chemistry with, and it was on display. Here's how efficient the offense was, Sarah. There were five plays. There was a five-play stretch the Broncos had against the Cowboys defense. Three of those five plays were for touchdowns by Russell Wilson. He was dialed in, and it was safe to say that maybe he was locked on.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, he's riding. He's cooking. He's locked on. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to throw out there for Russ Wilson, he's doing it. And I think it's so great to see, just because I know there were some outlets that are trying to say some negative stuff about him and that he's been underwhelming or whatever. But I just don't
guys
buy
that aren't
it.
Even attending, I mean, practice, by the way. Those are guys, right, that have maybe been to 1 to 2 days of practice. I've been there all 14 days, and those guys don't know what they're talking about. So, bam.
Bam, you heard it here first, or maybe not. Maybe you're not hearing it first. Maybe you never believed it in the first place, and kudos to you. But Russell Wilson orchestrating the offense, doing great. Obviously, I think a big thing here was success in the red zone, right? Really doing well in the red zone period. That was a huge problem area for the Denver Broncos, not just last year. I mean, really since Peyton Manning retired, but just red zone offense in general being efficient. I think that Kendall Hinton touchdown came in red zone work or close to it. And so you just love to see that kind of stuff. You'd love to see execution when the field gets condensed down there. You want to have a quarterback that can go make the smart decisions, but not just that, that can make those tight, accurate throws. The throw to Albert Okwuegbunam that we referenced before, kind of like what people are saying was the catch of the day. The way that I saw it described, Cody, is that it was a non-existent window that Russell Wilson threw the ball into. And for Albert O to go and make that catch, I think definitely you're looking at something there where, man, you got a quarterback that can execute the playbook. You got somebody that can really execute in the red zone and convert these drives into touchdowns. Because we heard also during this joint practice that Javonte Williams broke off a couple of really big runs. We know the Broncos are going to be able to move the ball down the field, but what happens when you get in the red zone? That is where this team was absolutely destroyed last year offensively. I think Russell Wilson, the biggest thing he brings to the table for the Denver Broncos in terms of on the field, is converting those good drives into 6 points.
I was very impressed by Russ and what he was able to do, being able to stand in command of the pocket. Pass protection, in my opinion, for the most part, was pretty solid for the Broncos, which everyone was freaking out about. Because look, here's the thing. The defense knows exactly what the Broncos' offensive calls are. And the Broncos' defense, oh my goodness. Like, they were just boat racing the Dallas Cowboys. And maybe they've been boat racing the Broncos' offense because they're that good. I mean, it could be that possibility here that we're going to discuss, which actually leads us to coming up here in just a moment. We're going to talk about the Broncos' defense. And look, there was a lot of aggressiveness. There was a lot of trash talk going on. There's a lot of chippiness in between the lines here, but there's also some other observations about some standout players outside of Nick Bonitto on the defensive side of the ball that we're going to get to coming up here in just a moment. But just a reminder, the Lockdown Broncos podcast is here for you every single day. Your team every day, by the way, here for all the Denver Broncos news, content, coverage that you need in one place from an objective point of view from people who are at the practice facility, who are covering practice 30 minutes or less. You get that here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast on your favorite audio podcasting platforms and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Broncos defense was aggressive and was all over the place during Thursday's inter-squad scrimmage against the Dallas Cowboys at the UCL Training Center to wrap up the final day of training camp practice. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day. Every single day, we appreciate you so much. Sarah, my friend, we were just kind of hyping up the Broncos defense previously in the last segment about how they've been giving the Broncos offense throughout training camp some fits. And a lot of people were wondering, well, is there something wrong with the Broncos offensive line? Well, you know, we saw the solid protection from the Broncos O-line against guys like Micah Parsons, Lawrence on the other side for the Dallas Cowboys. But now we really got to see just how good the Broncos defense really was. And I tell you what, from their starting unit, whether it be their front seven, whether it be their outside linebackers, they were causing havoc against the Cowboys. They were flustering their offensive line to the point that Dallas radio stations were having viewers call in saying, burn it down, because they were freaking out over a training camp practice where the Broncos simply were the most physical and the most aggressive team out there on the field on Thursday. But like I said, going back to Nick Bonitto, 4 sacks on the day. We got to talk about Bradley Chubb and Malik Reed. Malik Reed had several amazing plays. He would have had 2 sacks on the day and several plays there. Bradley Chubb absolutely just abused the Dallas Cowboys left tackle. I don't know who the left tackle is, but you know, whoever it is, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're listening to this, you might be a little concerned about your left tackle, or Bradley Chubb is back, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah, it was a very, very good day by the Broncos defense, and we'll attack some of the other areas maybe where they need to improve before Saturday's preseason game.
Well, if he's healthy, that left tackle is Tyron Smith, the former All-Pro. So, I mean, if Bradley Chubb is out there whooping that guy, that's definitely worth noting and definitely something that I think we can kind of hang our hats on at this point of training camp. And I think regardless of who is out there at left tackle, I think it's safe to say Bradley Chubb is back. I think he's had a really underrated offseason from everything that we've heard from Nathaniel Hackett and Ejiro Evero and the teammates in Denver. I believe even Garrett Bowles was talking just the other day about the fact that he doesn't envy any of the offensive tackles that have to go up against Bradley Chubb this year, because Chubb is about to have a monster season. I see it coming. I think a lot of people are down on Bradley Chubb right now. I personally wouldn't be. I'd be buying it. I'd be buying low if that's what you want to consider it right now, is buying low. I'd be buying low on Bradley Chubb. But I also think that not enough national NFL people really know a lot about Draymond Jones, so they don't talk enough about him. And Draymond Jones, I mean, you watch the live stream of practice, and he's just knifing through the line of scrimmage on every single play. And I'm sure that's exactly what's been happening all throughout training camp. And it just, like, I know we've talked with Tim Jenkins before on the show, who kind of scoff at the notion that the game slows down for players, but kind of just like that sentiment is kind of what it feels like is happening for Draymond Jones. Even if the game's not actually slowing down, it feels like for him, he's processing things at such a faster speed, and he's able to move so much faster than these interior offensive linemen. I mean, Draymond Jones is busting things up. Bradley Chubb busting things up. You got to love the way the defensive front seven was able to play against the Dallas Cowboys. Even Bradley Chubb knocking Ezekiel Elliott off his feet there for a bit. Really great to see. And I think just really great for the Denver Broncos defensive front to kind of go out there and really put some people on their backs. Just really kind of show, hey, this is going to be one of the best units in the NFL.
I'm super excited about it. And even we got to see a little bit more of the back end depth though, Sarah, too, which is, you know, I think a great thing, because cornerback, you maybe want to take a look. Obviously, no Ronald Darby, no Kaywan Williams. They did not participate in this practice. Kaywan was dressed out but didn't participate in any of the physical stuff. The Broncos want to do their due diligence with him. He's been working back, though. He's been at practice every single day. Ronald Darby, still dealing with a chest contusion, was out. So Michael Ojemudia got a little bit of run there. And he did give up a touchdown to CeeDee Lamb in one of the move the ball periods there. Not sure quite what happened. I'll have to go back and watch the Cowboys live stream, because apparently they gave such a great view on things. It'll be easy to go through and break down. But you know, the Cowboys, they targeted a lot of the short stuff. They didn't really try Patrick Surtain the second much. They didn't really look his way. And if you're Dak Prescott, why would you? Why would you want to target a guy like Surtain when, hey, you know, maybe you can pick on another guy there? But for the Broncos and their scheme, a lot of the passes that Michael Ojemudia was giving up were the short to intermediate stuff, the stuff that, you know, the slants, the curls, the comebacks, the digs to the outside. Those were those ones. I don't necessarily say that that's getting burnt. Now, if they're targeting him down deep and he's getting beat deep play after play, then I would be a little concerned. That's part of the Broncos scheme, is to play off and to rally to the short stuff, depending on what the coverage was. And that's something that we'll get a little bit more clarity of as we continue to see some more preseason action, putting it on the game tape. But I do want to highlight another cornerback. So, Sarah, I feel like we've mentioned his name every single day ad nauseum here. Damari Mathis, once again, during the 2 minute period, and also they moved to a little bit of red zone. Damari Mathis ended that period with a huge play. It was fourth down, fourth and goal. Cooper Rush threw a pass. I forgot to which wide receiver. It was a tall receiver. Damari Mathis' technique was unbelievable. Getting in phase, getting in on the hip, going up and high pointing. We talk about his vertical jump. Sarah, we saw his vertical jump on display because he rose up to a height I've never seen him jump before, and he knocked the ball away out of the end zone, and that would have forced a turnover on downs in the game situation. He is so technically refined that I was talking like Nick Ferguson, Eric Dalala, and others. We were just sitting there talking, and we were thinking to ourselves, it's not going to be long before we see him on the field in the regular season with the first team defense. We will see a lot of Damari Mathis this upcoming season. I think that there is a huge, huge possibility of it because of his play. Good depth, by the way. There's a lot of competition going on. I was a big, big fan of Damari Mathis today, and not to mention Fayon Hicks had a pass breakup as well. The Broncos secondary with some of these young guys doing a really good job stepping up. And that, to me, as a DB guy, is one of the most exciting things to see.
It's huge, and I can't wait to see these guys go at it in the preseason here, just to get to see a full game and get to see some one-on-one situations, get to see them be tested deep, get to see those red zone situations kind of in a game atmosphere. So I'm looking forward to that very much so. I think this preseason game against the Dallas Cowboys, it's going to be an absolute blast. And I mean, from a defensive perspective, I feel like the Broncos are exceptionally deep. I feel like we have no reason not to be tuning in throughout all four quarters. It seems like just as kind of like a miscellaneous for players here, like Matt Henningsen continues to pop up in tweet notes from people, and different players all throughout this roster continue to pop up.
Marquise Spencer being one, yeah.
Marquise Spencer, I mean, he was out there trying to beat some Cowboys players up, but man, you love the intensity. I mean, that kind of stuff is bound to happen in intra-squad practices like this. So certainly, I think Broncos fans have a lot to look forward to in this preseason game. There's going to be no shortage of intrigue as far as the roster development and as far as player development. I mean, just keep in mind as well, like, more than likely 15 or 16 of these guys are going to be kept on the practice squad as well. So yes, yeah. The team is at 90 players right now. It's going to be cut to 53, but a lot of these guys are going to be coming back anyway. So these are future Broncos that we're going to be watching on Saturday. I think definitely a reason for Broncos fans to be tuned in all four quarters for sure.
If you're a diehard Denver Broncos fan, I'm telling you, you have to pay attention to some of the back end guys on this roster that are competing for a spot. I mean, even Nathaniel Hackett said, like, Brett Rippon and Josh Johnson are in a quarterback competition, and that will be solved in the preseason. He said that these two guys are competing for that spot, which is great because it's not just being handed to one guy. We're going to have something to look forward to behind Russell Wilson. We're going to see that all throughout the preseason, not to mention the various competitions at wide receiver, cornerback, defensive line, outside linebacker. I mean, the list goes on and on and on about guys that could have an impact at some point in the regular season, that could have their number called upon. And I always think it's important for Broncos country to get to know everybody that's competing for those back end roster spots. The preseason is super important. I know it's not as exciting when the starters are not out there, but Broncos country, I promise you, you will come away feeling a lot more educated about some of these young guys that you're not surprised in the regular season when you see them step on the field. You're like, hey, where'd this guy come from? You're like, you know what? I watched him in training camp. I watched him in the preseason lockdown. Broncos told me to watch this guy. So there you go, Broncos country. Appreciate you so much for taking time out of your day to listen, to tune in. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see right now just how bad my sunburn is when you're looking at my neck in comparison to my chest. Anyways, the people listening on the audio version can't see what happened. So make sure you go check out the YouTube broadcast as well. Hit that like, subscribe button, and turn on a little bell notification so you never miss out on a day's worth of Denver Broncos news, content, coverage, and more. Sarah Bettinger and myself will be back on Saturday after the Broncos game against the Dallas Cowboys in Power Field at Mile High. It's going to be a little bit of a later episode of Lockdown Broncos. So depending on how things go, depending on how traffic is getting out of the stadium, we may have something after the game immediately, or we may have something for you ready to go in the morning when you wake up so you can have that with your cup of coffee. We appreciate you so much for tuning in and making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day.